That's the title of today's sermon. I'll show you through this sermon that servant leadership is for everyone. That means for all of us to do. Just getting myself organized up here. So again, good afternoon, everyone. Nice to see all of you, especially our visitors. And you can see that one of the reasons why we moved up here is because we can use the large screen and you can see the words better in the back. We can also make this part of the room darker so that it's more impactful for you and you can actually follow me today. I do have a number of slides. So I'm going to tell you a story. It was another hot August day on Bridgeport Avenue in Shelton, Connecticut. It was 1991, and I was going into work at a 46,000 square foot facility that built helicopter electrical harnesses. We had over 400 people working there, three shifts, most of them ladies between 40 and 60 years old. Their average age was 52 years old. Most of these ladies you would respect as your mother or your grandmother. And this was union jobs. They paid very well. They worked very hard assembling many, many wires to make large electrical harnesses that could fly a helicopter. We would say it was hard to make an egg beater fly, but that's what we did every day. The factory inside had many rows of what we called A-frames that we would use to mount flat plywood drawings on and form the harnesses that go inside the helicopter. We would get 4 to 8 ladies and their tool rollaways in each aisle. It was a little cramped, but there was a main walkway through the center of these A-frames. And every day, usually in the morning, a ruckus would begin sometimes in the front of the factory, working its way back, or sometimes in the back of the factory, working its way forward. The ladies would be laughing and cackling very, very loudly and erupting in all sorts of laughter and noises, moving like a slow-moving ocean wave from one side of the factory to the other. What was causing that? How was that happening? Well, one man was moving from row to row, chatting with each lady, talking about their children, their houses, their husbands, their cars, and all pieces of information that he had gathered on each and every one of those 400 employees. He knew their favorite food. He knew their names, the names of many in their family. He would tell them jokes and speak to them with his rough marine voice in ways that many of us couldn't speak to people. We'd get in trouble. But it caused them to erupt in laughter and all sorts of comments that's echoed throughout the facility. Was this man a military entertainer telling jokes? Was he a motivational speaker stimulating the performance of the factory? Was he an HR representative trying to improve the employees' morale? No, this one man was all those things. Who was he? His name was Don. He was an ex-Marine colonel of a helicopter squadron in Vietnam. And he was the general manager of this facility, and he did this every day. And he was one of my bosses. What was he doing? Well, he had developed a very personal relationship with each of the ladies on the floor, and in his position as general manager, he offered them himself as help to them to solve just one problem from each area of the factory floor. You know, when you work in a factory, there's always something that goes wrong with a drawing, a tool, a fixture, or a part. Something is always a problem and causing you some kind of issue. So Don would walk through the factory and collect these, and he would say, I have to solve at least one or two of these every single day to make the place better. The ladies all knew this and adored him for it. He was very successful. He had a very dynamic personality, and productivity would go up with every single walk he did on the floor. You would wonder, how could productivity go up when they spend a whole time laughing and joking and commiserating? It seemed counterintuitive, but how could productivity go up? The secret was very simple. Someone showed those people they really cared about them and they wanted to give back, that people wanted to give back. That's an important point. When you do show you care and you do care about other people and do the kind of things Don was doing, all of a sudden, people respect that and they feel valued and they give back. Don was an incredible man to work for. Our jobs were difficult, but he made it almost fun to do the best you could in serving the people of the company. He was my first general manager at Sikorsky Aircraft. He had an uncanny vision, was able to see things ahead, and knowing that I was an improvement engineer, he shared with me the vision of our building well before it was understood. So we drafted a capital appropriation of $2.5 million and invited the president of the company to come over and tour while we showed him the issue that we are trying to solve with the money. He approved it. We were able to get almost all the changes done and that we wanted and later got more money. The factory looked like the vision that Don had with a lot of finishing details. Today, I'm going to share with you a vision that Jesus Christ gave us through example. Today, we would call it servant leadership. Don was practicing it partially and see the results that he got. Jesus practiced it fully and has been impacting the whole world with it and will totally change the future of this planet. Don't you want to be part of that? What is servant leadership? We all know what it is because we practice it every Passover with the washing of each other's feet. That is only the beginning of it, though. And so I'm going to refer to the scripture now so that you can hear or refresh our memories of what happened this last Passover. If you turn to John 13 with me, please. In John 13, again, this is the part that after the Passover dinner, Jesus got up and told the disciples in John 13, verse 12, he got up and he put a towel around them and washed their feet. So when he had washed their feet in John 13, verse 12, taking his garments and sat down again, he said to him, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." And of course we do. Verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. More assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is greater than he who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So the title of this sermon is Servant Leadership is for Everyone, because we are all leaders for Christ. Jesus being the Son of God and the soon coming King stooped down to wash his servants' feet. What an example, the King of the earth coming down to serve us. What does Jesus want us to do? In Luke 22, please turn with me to Luke 22. We'll discover how he wants us to act. And this is one of the core scriptures for servant leadership. In Luke 22, verse 24. Says, "Now there was a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest." Oh boy. "And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For he who is greater, he sits at the table, or he who serves. He who sits at the table, or is it he who serves? It is not he who sits at the table, yet I'm among you as one who serves. We are to serve, no matter who we are, no matter what our title is. That is servant leadership. And God wants us all to practice this all year long. But how? First, I'm going to take you down a little path here of a couple principles. I have three principles, but first, I'd like to show you how the world thinks we should be leading. My first slide kind of looks like the Israelites being subverted by the taskmaster. Many people view that as slaves being whipped or put in submission by someone who's given more power than them and more authority to them, an overlord who oversees them. In today's world, we tend to have an idea in this world that when you're the boss, everybody's going to lift you up. Therefore, do as I tell you to do. Lift me up. Make sure that I look good. And also, when you're the boss, they kind of think that they can control and manipulate every move you have. Now, I think most of us can clearly understand right away that these are not long-term surviving practices of anything that anybody should do. So the three principles I'm going to give you is the first one is servant leadership means we serve each other as equal across all ages and all categories or assignments or departments or whatever our title is. Again, servant leadership means we serve each other as equals across all ages. So I'm sure you all know the story of Joseph. You look at Joseph, how he humbled himself before his brothers. He was the second most powerful person in Egypt. He also was sold into slavery by his brothers. Don't you think he would have felt some kind of anger or some kind of response to that? He didn't. He humbled himself and accepted his brothers because he understood they were family. They were his brothers, and they had to grow. It is a culture like a family of heart and love, patterned after the covenant relationship of love our Father God and Jesus Christ have, and follow in the complete commitment and serve each other. Joseph understood that. I think it's good that we understand that too. Matthew 20, please. Jesus here in Matthew 20 makes a very simple forward statement that we have to really take honestly and humbly in our lives. In Matthew 20, verse 27, he says, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave." In verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus gave us the example. He gave up his throne. He's the king of everything. He's the, right next to the Father God, the creator of all things. And yet, he came to serve for us. Do you think we can give up some of our cherished characteristics? We are part of God's family. He set the bar very high for us. John 12, please. And he expects us to do the same as him, to serve. In John 12 and verse 26, it says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. Where I am, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him." We all have the responsibility to serve. Family means we serve each other as the Father does, lifting each other up. Kind of like this picture. Young man there is lifting up the young lady, showing great strength and great ability as well as balance. He's lifting her up and holding her up there, and she's also making it easier for him by not unbalancing the situation. We have to do the same. We have to lift people up too. And it's hard. It's really hard. It's not easy when you have to lift up your brethren, and you've got to look at yourself closely and make sure that you're doing everything. You see the strength that he has to put in, and the discipline and practice they have to do that. We have to do the same kind of thing, lifting up our fellow brethren. And then think about the child. Think about our children. Are we lifting them up? Are we holding them up high? Are we helping them to grow and develop? They're watching our practices. They're listening to our, they're paying attention to what we invest in them. And they also look at the love we place in them. Are we lifting them up? So my second point is, servant leadership seeks not to control others, but to grow others in faith by emulating Christ. Again, servant leadership seeks not to control others, but to grow others in faith by emulating Christ. Christ has told us that we should be esteeming everyone, no matter who they are, and he did too, through humility, trust, and love. Look at Moses, who listened to Jethro. Moses was in charge of 2 million Israelites. He had control over the entire group given to him by God, but he still listened to Jethro's advice, the father of his wife, to delegate his authority to qualified leaders. And he supported them to serve the congregation. He helped them to be successful. He trusted them to do the job and bring issues to him that they couldn't handle. That isn't the type of control and manipulation that we have in this society. Philippians 2, please. In Philippians, it's going to drive home this point that we have to esteem others. We have to put aside our own feelings. In Philippians 2 and verse 3, we have to put aside our own feelings, our own opinions, and we have to esteem others. Philippians 2 verse 3, "Let nothing be done through the selfish ambition or conceit, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." And they may even not even be in the church. Look out for the interests of people who are not in the church that you work with or deal with every day. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He interfaced with anybody. Tax collectors, wine bibbers, prostitutes, on and on the list went. He didn't, centurions, he didn't stop him from dealing with anybody. He was interested in extending the Father's will. We have to be that way too. We are his chosen family. He loves and nurtures us. We need to love and nurture each other too, as he does. Matthew 23. Do not call anyone on earth your father. Matthew 23, 9, verse 9. He's just setting the stage here, telling us who we should be worshiping here. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers. Do not raise ourselves up. Let God walk before us. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is the greatest among you, you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. It all starts with humility. And when we humble ourselves, we bring ourselves together. That's important, that we all come together and share life together. So my third point and my final point here is servant leadership is based on absolute honesty within oneself, eliminating our selfishness, our ego, and our biases. I'll say it again. Servant leadership is based on absolute honesty within ourselves, eliminating our selfishness, ego, and biases. Practicing truth with others, we are willing to accept both counseling and criticism and to hold ourselves accountable to the truth. Now, number three is the hardest thing in the world to do. And I've failed at this many times, and I'm sure all of us struggle with it all the time. But this is the hardest thing to do, is to see who you are, to look at ourselves and understand the truth of who we are, to deal with the issues that come up in our lives, that our hearts, which may be influenced by Satan, may be influenced by the world, may be influenced by our past, tends to cover up the goodness that we could be, that God's trying to bring out of us. Both Lot and David had their come to God moments. I'm talking about a come to God moment. And had to face who they really were and change. Lot finally faced who God really is and how powerful he is and how much he was importantly changing or involved in Lot's life. He had a come to God moment. And from that point on, God accepted him. So did David with his Bathsheba issue. He had a come to God moment, created Psalm 51 for us, where he really began to understand who he really was. God was building a truthful and sincere relationship with both men, just as he's doing with all of us right now. Family means our hearts are fervent for the truth and our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Romans 12, please. Getting excited, getting fervent for the truth and for the word and for sharing it and for helping others to grow, esteeming them and holding them up and helping them to grow. Kind of like the guy who was holding up that gal. That was very difficult to do. It's not easy. We have to really practice number three of absolute honesty with ourselves to do it well. In Romans 12, verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Everything we do is for the Lord. 1 Peter 1:22. In Peter here, it says that Since we have purified our souls in 1 Peter 1:22, and obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Pure heart is something that we can ask God for and continue to work for. And one more scripture on that is 1 Timothy 1:5, just a few pages over. Now, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. When you're looking at yourself in the mirror, what do you see? How deep do you go? How far do you understand who you are and what's driving your heart? And is our heart leading us towards the kingdom? Do you think we need to bring all of our issues into the kingdom? Or are we going to leave it behind in this world, which will be forgotten completely with Jesus Christ, the arrival of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God? We start now living the ways of the kingdom. We start now living the ways of God. Servant leadership is being a true servant in God's family, both in heart and soul. Jesus, the true servant, and his love for us in preparing a place for us that he can give us when he returns, and we can be with him always. As it says in John 14, let us humble ourselves and serve him in our spiritual family. Prepare and let the Holy Spirit help us prepare ourselves to accept his love. Our hearts sometimes go off on tangents and block the love that he has for us. Don, my old boss at Sikorsky, humbled himself to serve the employees, no matter their age or their position, even the maintenance people. He served everyone in the organization. As the leader, he set a high bar for all of us to follow. And all of the people in his organization tried hard to follow that high bar. We as Christians are all leaders for Jesus Christ, who he set a high bar for us to follow. No matter who we are in his family, how old we are, what position we hold, we can set an example ourselves of servant leadership for everybody to see and hold people up. Let us remember and practice servant leadership in our lives. The three principles are: servant leadership means we serve each other as equals for all ages. Servant leadership seeks not to control others, but to grow others in faith by emulating Christ. Servant leadership is based on absolute honesty within oneself, eliminating our selfishness, our ego, and our biases.